السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، my dear brothers, sisters, elders, we are on the what I think will be the penultimate, the second last of the khutbas on this reflect on the Quran series, and we will conclude inshallah next Jumu'ah. And we are looking at Surah Al-Fatiha as the example of reflecting on the Quran, and we have been going on this ayah by ayah by ayah. And today we are in a very beautiful place, which is the essence of the asking, of what this asking was all about. And if you recall, last Jumu'ah I mentioned the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. O Allah, only you we worship and only you we ask help from. And as I mentioned to you, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ is the ayah of establishing the contact, of reminding. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need reminding, but it's our way of asking, of saying that I am yours, I have a right on you, I am asking you, give me because I am asking you. So it is a beautiful ayah of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of establishing that connection, reiterating that connection, emphasizing that connection, repeating that connection, using that connection as a reminder for ourselves that we belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, to whom is our return. So let us reflect on this and let us reflect and ask ourselves this question: what is the value? Truly each one of us needs to ask these questions to himself or herself. And as I say, after every Jumu'ah, go home and don't do anything else, just sit down in one place quietly and reflect on these ayat of the Quran. It makes absolutely no sense that we read something in salah and day in and day out and every rakat, and then we go on and you know our way ravishe bedangi hamari chalti hai, the life sort of goes on in the same ways that we don't change. That makes absolutely no sense. So reflect on this and say, what is the real value of having a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Khaliq wal Malik wal Hakim wal Raziq? He is the creator, he is the ruler, he is the sustainer, and he is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth, Rabbul Alameen, Rabbi Samawati wal Ard, wa Rabbi wa Rabbana, my Rabb and our Rabb. What is the meaning of this? Does it do anything inside? The key thing is to reflect and go back, go into your heart and see. The problem with our hearts is the hearts are dead. They don't do anything. They are pumping blood. Look into the heart and say, when I say, Ya Rabbi, is there any change? Is there any effect on this heart? Does it do anything? And ta'ala lahu al-amthal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond mithal of any kind, and we do not compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to anything in his creation, but we have actual personal experience of our heart being affected when we think of people with whom we have a relationship, both good and bad. You may be somebody whose face you hate, and the minute you think of that person, there is a bad feeling in the heart. And on the other hand, there may be somebody that you love, somebody that you really adore, somebody that you really are fond of and you really respect and so on. And the minute you think of that person, the minute you talk to that person, the minute you see that person, there is a change in the heart. There is some effect on the heart. Yes or no? What a tragedy that nothing happens when we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the bigger tragedy is that even we are not even aware of this, that nothing is happening. One is to say that I am aware nothing is happening and I regret that. But worse than that is that nothing is happening and I am not even aware that nothing is happening. We have to change this, believe me, wallahi, we have to change this. Otherwise a day will come when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what are we going to say when we have no connection with that, with the one in whose presence we are going to be standing? So ask yourself this question, and I ask myself this question: what is the value of our relationship with Allah? And as I said, it's not a matter of answering that question. I'm sure all of us can answer this question quite eloquently. Issue is inside the heart, what is happening. That is the real answer. The real answer is what is inside the heart. I recently completed a whole series of Fajr reminders called questions. So there are three questions of the Qabr and there are five questions of the Hashr. And I think Omar has now put everything together into one series. Please listen to that. Question, what are the questions and how do you answer those questions? So what is the value of this relationship with Allah? What is the value of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responding? As we mentioned, the hadith of Surah Al-Fatiha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to every single ayah by ayah. And what is the response to Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will give him whatever he asks. This is between me and my slave, and I will give him whatever he asks. Just reflect on this. What is the value of having this response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When Allah is saying, I will give him whatever he wants. My brothers and sisters, I've said this many times before. We do not worship sticks and stones. We do not worship dead things. We do not worship concepts. We worship a living God, the only one who is worthy of worship. We worship the one who is Sami'ul Basir. We worship the one who is Hayyul Qayyum. We worship the one who is Hayyul Ladhi La Yamut, who will not die. Wal insu wal jinnu yamutun. And the ins and the human beings and the jinn will die. And therefore, what is this relationship with us? The relationship of the Rabb with his Abd is the closest of relationships that exist. It is the only relationship that lasts long after all worldly relationships are over. The relationship with the parents, which is so emphasized in the Quran so many times, ends with the death of the father or the mother. The same children who used to devoted, and if they did not do that, then that's a serious matter. But if they do, as good children, inshallah, they devoted their lives to the serving of their parents, and those parents who devoted their lives to looking after those children, the same children will put the father or the mother in the grave and throw mud on their face. End of relationship. While the father was alive, the father had a name. When the father died, what do you say? Will you say, bring daddy here? You say, mayyat ko lao. Bring the mayyat. You don't say, bring so and so here. You say, bring the mayyat. The name itself is gone. We have an existence which did not have a name when we began. And we have an existence where even the name is gone when we die. حَلَتَ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, has the insan forgotten a time when he was not even something which was mentioned? As I've said many times before, even after a child is born, a newborn child has no identity. You say Zayd's son, Bakar's son, you do not say the child has no, until the child is named. If that child dies before it is named, what do you say? Who died? Zayd's son died. Bakar's son died. Most of the time you do not even say son, you say child died. Even after we are born, we have no existence, no remembrance. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensures that we live and we survive and we grow and something happens to us, and subhanAllah, and then we reach a stage where we stand in opposition to the same Rabb. We challenge the same Rabb. Hey, what level of insanity is that? I mean, it's completely crazy. We challenge the same Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I like this. And you say, you like this? Well, you see what? I don't like it. I like something else. Same Rabb. Before whom you are going to return? Before whom I am going to return? Please, please, please reflect, think. My brothers and sisters, there's no relationship which is closer or more superior to the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Anyone who compromises that relationship for the sake of a relationship with any creature is truly foolish and truly ignorant. It's about this relationship that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a hadith which is in Sahih Bukhari, narrated by Safwan bin Muharid al-Mazini. He said, While I was walking with Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, holding his hand, a man came before us and said, "What have you heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about An-Najwa?" And Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, he said, "I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, Allah will bring a believer near him and will shelter him with his screen. And he will ask him, 'Did you commit such and such sin?' And the believer will say, 'Yes, my Rabb.' Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep on asking him till he confesses all his sins and will think that he is ruined. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say to him, 'I screened your sins in the world and I forgive you today.'" Huh? Tell me, is this worth something to you? Is this worth something to you? Or this has no meaning? And then this person will be given his book of deeds in his right hand. And about the people who disbelieved and the munafiqeen, the hypocrites and the witnesses, they will say, "These are the people who lied against their Rabb. Behold, the curse of Allah is upon the wrongdoers." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will screen in this world and in the next world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins. Ibn al-Qayyim said, if somebody praises you, he is praising the screen that Allah has put over you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless these ulama for their beautiful nasiha. He said, if somebody praises you, don't think it is for yourself. If somebody praises you, they are praising the screen that Allah has put over you, because they do not see you as you are. If they could see you as you are, they would never praise you. And I can say with complete and total certainty about myself that this is true. Wallahi, this is true. My Rabb is witness that this is true. And I ask my Rabb to keep that screen over me until the day I die, and then to raise me behind the screen on the day of judgment, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, ask yourself what this relationship, what value is this for you, and whether you think it is worth ruining for the sake of relationships with your friends and relatives who insist on displeasing and angering Allah. Please reflect that the major reason why otherwise good Muslims fall into haram is to please their friends. Single biggest reason. Single biggest reason why good Muslims end up either directly participating in haram or being bodily present and keeping their mouth shut when they should either speak against it or they should leave. But they don't do either. They sit there and they are witness. And then they are counted among those people. Why? Only to please their friends and relatives. That's the single biggest reason. And that's the reason why it's very important to keep good company. If you are in the company of people who do not commit haram, there is no test for you, alhamdulillah. But if you are in the company of people who insist on doing things knowingly they are haram, not a single one of the people committing that haram is doing it because they don't know it is haram. Believe me, I can say this with certainty. People know perfectly well what they are. Who in this place does not know that gambling is haram? Who in this place does not know that music parties are haram? Who in this place does not know that drinking alcohol is haram? Who in this place does not know that deceiving and lying and cheating and grabbing people's property is haram? Huh? You think people doing that because they don't know it is haram? I'm occupying your land. Oh, but you see, I didn't realize it is your land. Huh? I thought it is mine. The world belongs to Allah. I am Abdullah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Seriously. And if you take part in that, and if you keep quiet, it is considered as taking part in that. Because what is the job of the Muslim? To stop something with his hand or to speak out against it. And the third part, which mistakenly is described as two options. The third is, what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? He said, consider it hateful in your heart, and that is a sign of the weakness of your iman. Considering it hateful in your heart alone is not an option. It is a sign of your fatal cardiac illness. So go get it cured. It's not an option. Only two options. Stop it with your hand or speak against it. My brothers and sisters, and that's the reason why Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullah alayhi said Surah al-Fatiha is tawbah. When the slave reads each ayah, he reflects on his own life and makes tawbah. And that's the way to read Surah al-Fatiha. To reflect on it ayat by ayat, comparing it to your own life and making tawbah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's the effect? Remember, think about this. What is the effect of doing this a minimum of 5 times a day? Or to put it more accurately, 17 times a day, 17 rakat of fard salah. Add the sunnah to it and you have 12 more. A Muslim renews his contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 29 times a day. And inshallah more, because you pray tahajjud and you pray other nawafil and so on and so forth. 29 times a day minimum. Every single day of his life. What must be the strength of that contract if we do this renewal properly? So once again, let us reflect in our hearts and say, what is the strength of my contract? So now that the slave has the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this wonderful response, ask and it will be given. What does he ask for? What is he taught to ask for? Before we go to the ayah, let us reflect on what we would like to ask if there was only one thing to ask. Naturally, you would like to ask for that one fundamental thing which would guarantee everything else. Yes? I remember my mother used to tell me, when I was a little boy, my mother used to tell me a story. And the story she used to say was that there was a man who was very poor. He was very poor, and obviously, because he was very poor, nobody wanted to marry him, so he was not married. He wanted to get married, he wanted to have children. But none of that could happen because he was very, very poor. And on top of that, he had a mother who was blind. Old mother who was blind. So this teaching story is that one day an angel appeared before him and said, I can grant you one thing. Now how many problems does he have? He's very poor, destitute, no money. He's got a blind mother. And he wants to get married and have children, but obviously he can't do all that. So he's got all these problems. But the angel says, I can give you one. So what does he say? He said, I want my mother to see her grandchildren playing with toys of gold. Well, that gives us a brain to think. So the angel said, I'll give you one thing. But the one thing he asks in such a way that he gets everything. He says, I want my mother to see her grandchildren playing with toys of gold. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he taught us to ask, what did he teach us to ask? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ihdina siratal mustaqim. The one thing which guarantees everything else. The path of steadfastness, the path of guidance, the path of righteousness, the one path that ensures success in this world and the next. My brothers and sisters, please reflect on the benefits of being steadfast and righteous in this life. That is the ticket to success in this world. Our problem is, unfortunately, we have been taught deen in such a fractured way that we think that deen is for the khabar. But deen is for this dunya, and the khabar is you get the reward for whatever you did, good or bad. Deen, what is deen? Even linguistically, when we speak, we say deen or dunya, which is a ridiculous way of saying it. It's not deen or dunya. Deen is the way of living in the dunya. It is dunya and akhirah. It's not deen and dunya. Deen is the way of living in this dunya so that the akhirah becomes beautiful and the dunya also becomes beautiful. That is the beauty of Islam. Islam is not that you will suffer in this world and in the akhirah you will have Jannah. No. Islam is a way of life. The deen is something which ensures that you are a winner in this dunya wal akhirah. And that's why, what is the ticket to success in this world? The ticket to popularity, to honor, to respect, to influence is to be righteous and steadfast. Integrity and consistency. Read the biographies of great leaders. I'm not talking about flash in the pan political scamsters who come and go. I'm talking about great leaders from any country or culture that the world talks about with great respect. And you will find these two qualities in them. Integrity and consistency. That is the Siratul Mustaqim for the dunya. And the Siratul Mustaqim which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask Him for, takes this into its ambit and adds the critical aspect of the akhirah. And that's what makes this idea so powerful. It is the route to success in both worlds. So what is this Siratul Mustaqim? What are we asking for when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to Siratul Mustaqim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Siratul Mustaqim in His kalam when He said about Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Yasin wal Quran al Hakim innaka minal mursalin ala siratum mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Yasin, by the Quran which is full of wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by His own kalam. Allah is taking an oath by Himself, by His own kalam. Truly you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are among the mursaleen, are one of the messengers of Allah. Ala siratum mustaqim. And you are on the straight path of righteousness and straight path of steadfastness. So when we ask for siratul mustaqim, what are we asking for? Please reflect, think, because you are the one asking. You are the one asking. So think at least, minimum think, what am I asking for? You are asking for the path of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Siratul Mustaqim is the path of the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned and certified that he was on the Siratul Mustaqim. And that is what we are asking when we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim. We are asking Allah to guide us to the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are asking Allah to guide us to His life in its entirety. Please note, we are not asking to be guided only to the way He used to pray, or to His charity, or to His jihad, or to His family relations. We are asking to be guided to the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that refers to what? It refers to the entire life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, Islam is a practice. Islam is a deen. It's a way of life. It's not an ideology or a theory or a philosophy to be studied, debated, discussed, and then forgotten while we lead our lives any way we please. Islam is Siratul Mustaqim. Islam is the Sunnah, because the Sunnah is the living demonstration of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the living Quran, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to show us how, to show how to those who know why. It is my belief about all of you here and all those who will listen to this khutbah, that why must we follow the sunnah is not a question in your mind, inshallah, yes? Because that, if that is a question in your mind, then that's a matter of extremely, extremely great worry, because that's a question of the foundation of the aqidah itself. So why, you know? Question is, how should I do that? And that is what you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. We ask Allah for guidance when we say, Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim. And therefore, let us reflect on what our own attitude is towards the sunnah. Surah Al-Fatiha is tawbah. And so let us make tawbah for neglecting the sunnah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May let us make tawbah for deliberately ignoring and going against the sunnah. Let us make the niyyah to stop this immediately and forthwith, right now from this moment onwards. And to start following the sunnah to the best of our ability. Let us realize the master plan of those who want to hurt Islam. They know they cannot tamper with the Quran. So what they have done is to devalue the importance of Hadith and Sunnah in the eyes of the Ummah. They tried to divorce the theory from the practice. They tried to separate the word from the action. so that we would never benefit from the world. Sadly, some of us are mentally challenged, and therefore we bought into that argument, and we failed to see the diabolical plan behind the screen, which is to destroy the very foundation of Islam and to reduce it from a complete practical way of life to at best a theory, a nice theory. Islam came to change the world and has the power to do that. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain showed us this in practice. Yet today we refuse to accept the advantages of what we have been given, and we run around scared of I don't know what. The world respects whatever you do with confidence. So what's so bad about the Sunnah that you don't want to practice it? Seriously ask this question to yourself. Seriously ask this question to yourself. What is so bad about the Sunnah that you don't want to practice it? What is so bad about the face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that you don't want your face to resemble his face? What is so bad about his akhlaq that you don't want your akhlaq to be like his akhlaq? What is so bad about his clothing, his dressing, the way he used to treat his people, the way he used to do business, that you don't want to do business like that? Please understand, it is not enough to have one jalsa of Rahmatul Lil Alameen once in a year and sit on the stage and make speeches. Every single one of those speeches will come to haunt you on the day of judgment as proof against you if you don't follow that sunnah. What is so bad? What is so bad about the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you don't want your face to look like his face sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Remember, on the day of in your qabr, you're going to be lying there, and among the questions of the grave is the question where it will be asked, what did you think about this man? And you will be shown the face of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which will have a beard, whether you like it or not. And your answer, which has to come not because you mugged it up, but which has to come from inside your heart, the answer which will save you is what? He is my imam. I followed him. I did his ittiba. And you are going to be saying that with your face shaved? You are going to be saying, he is my imam and I followed him, when your face has no beard on it? Make wasiyah that when you die, that people put a false beard on your face. Maybe, wallahu alam, maybe you will deceive the angels. Seriously ask yourself this question. Your face will give the lie on your tongue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim. There will be a lock which will be put on their tongues. Wa tukallimuna aydihim wa tashhadu arjuluhum bima kanu yaksibun. Their hands will speak. Your hand will bear witness to Gillette. Your hand will bear witness that every day you used to make this hand remove the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from your face. Your hand will bear witness. Beware of your hands. Your feet will bear witness to the barber shops that you went to have your face shaved. Please, as I told you very, very clearly, I've said this many times before. Don't get offended with me. I'm not talking about myself, I'm talking about the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent as the best example. Whose sunnah you are worshipping Allah and saying, oh Allah, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide me to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did you say, oh Allah, guide me to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except his face? Did you say that? Then what happens? Please. And it's a tragedy, because alhamdulillah, rest of your life is good. You don't lie, you don't cheat, you pray 5 times a day, alhamdulillah, and so on. But you commit such a big sin that you are not even aware of it. All the people who are so fond of fiqh, go and read, I won't even tell you, go and read the issue of beard and the issue of the hudud, the issue of the punishment for shaving the beard in all the 4 madhahib. What is Imam Abu Hanifa saying? What is Imam Shafi saying? What is Imam Malik saying? What is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal saying? Go and read it for yourself. You're so fond of fiqh and you're so fond of dalail and so fond of fatawa. Go and look at what these a'imma are saying. If that is what will convince you, wallahu. Do that. Don't destroy yourself. Do not destroy yourself. My brothers and sisters, the sunnah is Islam. The sunnah is fard. It has not been left to our own whims and fancies to practice or to leave the sunnah as we wish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put great barakah in following the sunnah. And He warned those who refuse to practice it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. In Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to all of mankind, if you really love Allah, then follow me, make my ittiba, imitate me, look like me, walk like me, talk like me, deal like me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. I've said this before, ask yourself this question. The problem is we don't think and we don't reflect. Ask yourself this question, what is the value of Allah loving you? Does it have value? Does it have value or it has no value? If Allah loves you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the guarantee, how do we know that Allah will love us? We know that if we are following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no other dalil. The rest of it is imagination. I can say to myself, Allah loves me. What is the proof? What is the proof? The proof is that I follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I am following the sunnah, Allah loves me. If I am not following the sunnah, by the same argument, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love me, no matter what else I do. Yuhibbukum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you and He will forgive your sins. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. He will forgive your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُرْ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of forgiving and most merciful. Ask yourself, do I want Allah to love me? Ask yourself, what is the benefit of having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love me? Is there a benefit for me if Allah loves me? Seriously ask yourself these apparently obvious questions for our own lives. Because from our own lives, it does not appear that these are obvious. Because if they were obvious, how is it that we don't follow the sunnah? So let us get serious, my brothers and sisters, and ask if we want Allah to love us, if we want Allah to forgive our sins, to accept our dua, to help us, to protect us, and then reflect on the fact that it is so easy to ensure this. It is so easy to ensure this. Just follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, how wonderful that to do this is also so full of grace and dignity. So full of goodness all around. It is not something that is difficult to do. It is easy and beneficial in itself in this world. And it earns Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. And you become among the beloved of Allah. You become a wali of Allah. What more can you ask? Do you want your dua to be accepted? Do you want the angels to recognize you as an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is the value of being recognized as an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Reflect, reflect, reflect. Think. Think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants those who are engrossed in the dunya and for whom the approval of every loser is more important than the approval of Allah. They deliberately and knowingly do wrong things to please every loser who is around them. Knowing that they are displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the process. What did Allah say about them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Arshil Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malikul Mulk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives and takes away at will. Allah does not ask and request your approval. Allah does not ask and request for your obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Tawbah, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if your fathers, your sons and daughters, your father and mother, your sons and daughters, your brothers and sisters, your wives and husbands, your kindred, your family, the wealth that you have earned, the commerce in which you fear a decline, the businesses that you fear a loss in, and the houses, the dwellings in which you delight, you build the house and you look at it and you feel so happy, if these are more beloved to you, if these are more beloved to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then more beloved than striving in the path of Allah, jihad fi sabilillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَعْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ, go and wait for the punishment of Allah. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised not to guide. Allah said, and Allah does not guide people who are rebellious. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enumerated all those things we love in this life, and all those whose opinions we value, and all those whose approval we seek. And He said clearly, Jalla Jalaluhu, that if we don't love Allah and His Messenger and the struggle in His path more than all of them, and this has to be demonstrated in our lives, then He would reject us and He would punish us. I ask Allah to save us from His rejection and from His punishment. And what is the sign of love for Allah? The sign of love for Allah is to follow the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah. Not my opinion. I gave you the dalil of the ayah from Surah Al Imran. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. I cannot do more than this. I cannot present for you the message of this deen supported by dalail from the Quran Al-Kareem and from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Beyond this, there is no other level of presentation or explanation. The strongest dalil for a Muslim is the kalam of Allah. If someone is looking for a dalil beyond this, good luck to him. At least I can't give it to you. So please, get serious with life. My brothers and sisters, therefore, as I said, what is the sign that we love Allah? It is to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. When will we realize the value of this? Why do we deliberately refuse to accept the mercy of Allah? Why do we deliberately refuse to accept the honor of the sunnah of Rasulullah? Yet we ask Allah to guide us to the sunnah in every rakat of every salah. Isn't that strange? I want to end with a beautiful hadith from Rasulullah. Rasulullah said, some people will come on the day of judgment and their iman will be outstanding. Its light will shine from their chests and from their right hands. And it will be said to them, glad tidings to you today. Assalamu alaikum, and goodness for you. Enter into Jannah forever. The angels and the prophets will be jealous of the love that Allah has for these people. May Allah make us among those people. The Sahaba said, who are they, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He replied, they are not from you. You are my companions, but they are my beloved. They will come after you and will find the book, the Quran, made redundant by the people. And a sunnah they will find which has been killed by the people. So they will grab hold of the book and they will grab hold of the sunnah. And they will revive them. They will read them and teach them the Quran and Sunnah to the people, and they will experience in that path of punishment and trials more severe and more ugly than what you have experienced. Indeed, the iman of one of them is equivalent to the iman of 40 of you. The shaheed of one of them is equivalent to the shaheed of 40 of you. Because you found a helper towards the truth. Who is that? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, you found a helper towards the truth. But they will find no helper towards the truth. They will be surrounded by tyrant rulers in every place. And they will be in the surroundings of Al-Baytul Maqdis. The Nusra of Allah will come to them. And they will have the honor of it on their hands. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah, give them Nusra. and make them my close friend in Jannah. And this is in Musnad Ahmad and it's Hasan. My brothers and sisters, many parts of this hadith and so on and so forth. Just one clarification. When this hadith says that the iman of one of these people is equal to the iman of 40 sahaba, this does not mean that the position of the sahaba is lower than no. This is like saying if you pray two rakat of salatul duha, you get the reward of one hajj and one umrah. This does not mean that you pray two rakat of salah and you say, khalas, my hajj is over. The reward meaning the amount of that reward. It does not mean that literally that particular thing has happened. So the sahaba are the sahaba, ridwanullahi alayhi majmain. But the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave great glad tidings and he gave great bashara to the people who will come after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who will believe in him and who will believe in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will listen to the kalam, not in the voice of the one who received that kalam. They will listen to the kalam in the voice of others, but they will bring faith on the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will follow the kalam of Allah, and they will follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this wonderful bashara that he made dua for such people, that Allah should make them amongst his close friends in Jannah. You want Jannatul Firdaus? You want the company of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Follow his sunnah. Revive his sunnah. Revive the kalam of Allah. Reviving the kalam of Allah means what? Means learn it, practice it in your lives. Revive the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make the niyyah that from this moment onwards you will not break any of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make a niyyah now. Then inshallah if you die before next Friday, when inshallah I will see you with beards, Allah will give you Jannah because you made the niyyah. Inshallah. May Allah give you life. A long life. A life which is full of obedience to Allah. A life which is full of grace and beauty in this dunya. And a life which will create an akhirah for you that will truly, truly delight you. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.